I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and I want to tell you, when I fix the sound barrier, I use staples.
Oh, I thought it was duct tape.
No, had to use staples on this one. Duct tape was, we couldn't find
it. Couldn't find any. Yeah. We forgot to bring it that day.
We were patching up airplanes before that, and yeah, we ran out.
And Gorilla Glue.
Yep.
Dude, what about zip ties?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Zip ties and electrical tape.
There you go.
That's the backup plan. Anyway, you heard Eric Lindbergh, and yes, he is related to the Charles Lindbergh.
Right.
Wow.
Grandson.
That's kind of cool. Grandson, yeah.
Favoring mom's side.
Yes, he said.
And
for those of you who don't know, yes, Anne Lindbergh did play a major part in Charles Lindbergh's exploits.
Right. She said, I'm sick of you. Get out of here.
Yeah,
go do
buzz
something.
Off.
And he's also joined by Mr. Arvin. I'll say the first name, but not the last, because I'll murder it.
Arvin Iyer.
Well, see, that wasn't that hard. Man, he's going to replace me. I can see it.
He can replace both of us, you know?
Arvin's got a great radio voice.
Oh, boy.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Here we go.
But he doesn't have a face for radio, so
no,
he can't.
Neither do we.
Be nice now.
That's yeah, Greg's line.
No, you're way too good looking to be on radio. Anyway, let's talk about the Lindbergh Foundation.
Yeah, well, Arvin is the executive director, and this is a 42-year-old organization started by friends of my grandparents, like Neil Armstrong, Jimmy Doolittle. When my grandfather died, they wanted to find a way to really carry on both of my grandparents' vision of balancing advances in technology with preservation of the environment, because that the fulcrum of that balance is our quality of life.
Well, Charles Lindbergh must have been way ahead of his time, well, both your grandparents, thinking about the environment back in, 42 years ago? What was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they flew over the world from the late 1920s. 1930s, my grandparents both flew something like 40,000 miles the early 30s doing survey routes, some of the routes we still fly today.
So they surveyed for airlines?
For aviation.
Okay.
There were no airlines at that time.
That's true.
They were just starting to come on. That history paying forward to today, we're looking at the 100th anniversary of my grandfather's flight in 7.5 years, and how do we use this nonprofit organization to benefit aviation? Really, our mission is to decarbonize and reduce noise. I mean, I love watching a Howard, the radial engines.
Yep.
And that's great, but these are the big threats to our industry, and we're losing our airports and infrastructure, and we want to make sure that our kids have the freedom that we have to fly. So how do we do that? And that's by, you know, really galvanizing talent. The STEM education for kids, high school kids, middle school, high school, and then college, to solve these issues. And so as a nonprofit in aviation, that's our real focus.
I'll add to that by saying the Lindbergh name is still very potent in the aerospace industry. It's a powerful, incentivizing, and motivating force. And we'd like to use it as a force for good, especially at this time when our mission of balancing technology and the environment overlaps very well with the demand we see out there and the expectation almost that aviation needs to be clean and definitely a bit quieter. So we'd like to use it as a force for good, and I think we're best suited to do that by, like Eric said, galvanizing, motivating, pushing talent to innovate in that direction.
And we really do that through awards, events. We did the Lindbergh Innovation Forum here the other day, leading edge talks about hypersonic, supersonic, urban air mobility, hydrogen power, AI and aviation, all these things that we know are coming, but like AI, I have no idea how that's going to fit.
Let's hold the phone on that one a little bit.
Yeah, really.
Let's let it mature a little bit. I don't want my airplane flown by an infant. I want it to be all grown up before it flies.
It's coming. I tell you what kind of phone do you have?
Yes, I have a dumb phone, but it is in my hands anyway.
You may have some AI in your phone or in your car
these days. Oh, my car's definitely smarter than I am.
It's coming. And so, super curious. And Richard Kane gave us just an amazing talk. And, you know, could be dry as toast, but it was fascinating for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's a part of our program.
The Innovation Forum, which we had on Tuesday, second time we you know, our first one was at AirVenture last year, is meant to highlight the major breakthrough innovations happening in this field today, and there's a lot of them. It ranges from materials, manufacturing, software, AI, users of flight like VTOL. But it's meant to explain what these innovations mean, and it has a dual educational and inspiring kind of purpose. And so, and that's what we're trying to do. There's a lot of skepticism about some things, all justified.
Well, change is scary.
Right, exactly. And we'd like to help people understand not just the technology better, but also why and how it's going to impact them.
How it affects us as pilots and the people on the ground, too.
You know, all I can think of is a scene from The Fifth Element where he's driving that cab and there's just stuff flying all over the place. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Well, that's our problem in urban air mobility.
Right.
We're like... My company, Vertigo Aero, is building hybrid electric propulsion systems for those vehicles. So if you're designing a vehicle and you need more electrons to have more safety, more reserves, or more cycles during peak traffic time, and then use conventional infrastructure like refueling. But in terms of working out the airspace, that's a good question. I think we'll have some rural air mobility or geographically constrained areas will adopt this first. Will we have, how fast will it scale is sort of the question.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, technology always races ahead of regulation and all that stuff.
Well, the issue that I see is overcrowding. I mean, it's bad enough that people in cars drive like fools. Now you got people in planes flying like fools.
You know, the one good thing about AI, though, is it doesn't get angry. It doesn't road rage. It doesn't do stuff just to piss you off.
I don't know. You know, any kind of computer technology I'm involved with always has an attitude, you know, the blue screen of death.
You get in your little automated flying car and there's a mode, you know, commute, shopping.
Oh, just wait until you get that spinning pinwheel and you're up in the air.
Yeah, there you go.
Now we have problems with road rage. Are we going to have issues with sky rage?
Oh, yeah. So the foundation's main goal is to find the talent and inspire talent for the future.
Yeah, and apply that talent to these issues that we're facing.
Okay.
I mean, I think airspace issues are also...
Well, they're going to be huge.
Extremely real, and nobody wants angry bees like drones above their head or in their neighborhood.
I don't mind them above my head. I'm a 107 drone pilot, but I don't want them falling on my house.
And
that's the only thing.
So how we move in, and I think, you know, from my company's perspective, we have to make them quiet. If we're going to gain market share and scale, the quieter the better.
Well, don't the Europeans have much tighter noise standards for aircraft than we do for GA?
Yes, they do. And this is, I mean, this is the one of the differences between Europe and the U.S. is that we have sort of the Wild West mentality. Yeah, noise, big engines.
That's right.
Big trucks.
Engine, good.
And Europe has policies and regulations that have constrained the aviation industry. So they're addressing some of these things from a top-down policy level. We have these freedoms, but we're also paying for it. We're losing our infrastructure. People move their houses in next to airports and then complain about the noise and so forth. So there's differences. That's why we see the sweet spot for the foundation as a nonprofit to really try to push on those solutions and incentivize those solutions so that, you know, our kids have the freedom to fly like we do.
Right. So it'll be a win-win in the long run because you're trying to educate pilots to be more respectful and you're also telling the public, hey, these are good things to have.
It's not like we can make airplanes go away.
No, you can't.
We need the third dimension to travel.
We need the Z.
If you got stuck in traffic earlier here at AirVenture, if you live in a city like Seattle, for me, it's just nuts. And we plan our days around the traffic.
Yep.
And if we can hop up into the third dimension and figure out the air traffic, it's going to be hugely more efficient, especially as those economies of scale kick in and we have, you know, it becomes cheaper. We can democratize that space. And we've never really cracked the code on short distance aviation. Helicopters do it. They're eVTOL right now.
Yeah.
but they're loud and they're expensive.
Right.
And so they've never really scaled to that, you know, George Jetson sort of.
Exactly.
Or Fifth Element.
And, you know, that's
the
fantasy.
I make it fold into a briefcase.
That's the fantasy, is the George Jetson mode of travel.
Yep.
But
yep.
Even he had problems, if you remember.
I don't remember him having any problems with his car.
No, but he had
problems. His wife took his wallet a lot.
He had problems with traffic. He was constantly bumping into other guys up there trying to get to work.
The front of the pointy end of the vehicle. Well, you know, I think that the cool thing is that having been in the aviation industry for 30 years, distributed electric propulsion has changed the way airplanes look. It's opened up the design space, and it feels like the most exciting time I've ever seen in aviation in my career.
Right.
Having said that, all this forward movement is good, but there's a romance in aviation, and embodied by the folks we see around us and by our venture. And that will never go away. It should never go away. And the Lundberg Foundation, you know, we're kind of, those are our roots. Almost everybody on our board is a pilot. This is where we belong. This is where we come from. So it's important for us also to kind of help try and bridge that gap and, you know, not make sure that we lose sight of where aviation came from. In terms of the connection that people have towards, you know, the space, towards flying, towards respect for the rules, you know, towards, you know, just aviation in general, that just gives them that sense of pride.
And quality of life.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you, Eric Lindberg, and Arvin Iyer.
Iyer. Yes.
Iyer. All right. From the Lindberg Foundation.
Iyer.
I'm Digital Dave.
There you go. And Fast Eddie. And this is a very enthusiastic EAA radio.